church look like today if we really stopped taking control of it and let the Holy Spirit lead? I never understood something until later on in my life. God doesn't want me to do this by myself. He doesn't want me just to follow him on my own. That's why he created church, the church. I understand that what we're talking about is a huge commitment. But I believe that in your heart, just like it's in my heart, we want to do it because we just don't want to come to the end of our lives and realize that we were playing a game.
What's up, everybody? So as you can see from my little intro video, we're starting today our summer series, and our series is called Basic by Francis Chan. All right, so if you didn't know, if it's your first time here today, I know some of you guys are new here today. My name is Pastor Romy. I'm the middle school pastor here. So excited that you're here today. Hopefully you had fun playing our game, getting to know some people, did it on purpose. Yeah. All right, so if you have any questions about today, here's our info that we'll throw up. We have an email, info@thefactorystudents.com. You can email us there. We're also on Facebook, The Factory Students. We're on Twitter, Instagram, @TheFactory. And you can hashtag that mug, basic, is where we're at. All right, so why are we doing this basic series? Well, I mean, the first thing you probably have to ask is, what is it? Like, what is basic? All right, so we're just going to run through this really quickly. All right, so here's what Francis Chan says about it. He says, trends come and go in our culture, and the church seems to follow. Basic challenges us to reclaim the church as Scripture describes it to be. It speaks to those who have questions about the church, and to those who may have lost their interest in the church. All right, so the guy who was speaking in the beginning, right, in the intro video, his name is Francis Chan. Raise your hand if you heard of him before. Right, we'll throw a picture of him again. He's awesome, fantastic preacher, does a lot of great things. But just here's some info on him. He's a pastor, church planted based in San Francisco, who speaks to 10,000 of people around the world every year. Right, he's on the board of the World Impact and Children's Hunger Fund, best-selling author. If you've written his other books, Crazy Love, that one was really, really popular. Forgotten God and In the Race to Hell. All right, so again, he's just a beast. He's just a boss at it. So why not follow him as he leads us in some things, all right? So here's his quote on the basic series, right, on what we're talking about. He says, if I only had this as my God, talking about the Bible, if all I had was the Bible and I was to read this book and then start a church, what would it look like? Would it look like the thing that we've built here and all referred to as church, or would it look radically different, right? So that's him. Just kind of his heart in the basic series, like that's why he's doing this. What would it look like if we just took the Bible for what it was, right, and then just say, hey, this is what church is, just from like reading the Bible, right? So here's the things that we're going to be discussing. You saw the little themes on the screen as he was kind of going through. But the first one, this one that we'll talk about today, is fear God. He's going to bring up this topic because, you know, the Bible says it's the beginning of all wisdom, all knowledge, right? So he's bringing that one up first. Following Jesus, the Holy Spirit, on prayer, fellowship, teaching, and communion, right? So these are all things that we might have heard our whole life, but he really just gives it to you in this, like, raw, new way. Like, here's what the Bible says it is. Now, are we really reflecting that? Is that really what we, is that really the way we see God? Or it's like, is this the way that church is, the way that we see it in Scripture? All right, so he's really challenging us. All right, so why basic, right? Why are we doing this? What are the two things we're always praying during the prayer meeting in the beginning, right? We always pray this every Sunday in the morning that we want to see a move of God. In our generation, we want to see the gospel to your friends, right? So when we're doing the basic series in here, like, we want the same thing to happen for you guys. Like, we want to see a move of God happen in your life now, right? Because so many times, like, we become victims of church later on in life, that we can go through church, go through everything, go through the motions, and not really understand, right, because we haven't applied or we haven't had, like, the a true knowledge of what church is and everything, what is fearing God, right? So we kind of, like, just kind of walk through. It's like you're graduating, but you really don't know the information, right? So then you get to a point where you're older, you're an older woman or older man, and you're like, man, I don't really know how to read the Bible. Like, I really don't understand, like, church. Or I really don't understand, like, prayer. What, like, how do you even do that? So a lot of times you see grown-ups, like, they don't really know how to do it, even though they come up through church, they've come up through Christian schools, but they get to a point where they're like, I've been here all this time, but, like, I don't really know how to do this, right? So we don't want that to be anybody's story in this room, right? And the second one, we want your friends, when they do come into this room, like, right, for your friends, we had two people get saved, right, last Wednesday, hot summer nights. What? Right, so we invite them to come on Wednesdays because we're praying at 8:30. We're walking through the basic series at 10:30. Right, so we want them to understand when they do come to know God, right, we want them to know the true meaning of what church is, right, to come to it right away. All right, so here's going to be the structure. Like, for the rest of the summer, here's what our Sundays will look like. All right, is everyone going to play a game? We did that. We'll have announcements. We'll have, like, a little intro. And then we're going to play the video. And each video, like I said, is wrapped around a theme. And it's really cool. It's not just him talking in the video. But each video is like a movie almost. So it'll keep you captive. It's really good. And the way he illustrates everything in each video is just really awesome. Then after that, we'll have a discussion time together. And we're going to get into deep things into our discussion. So get your hearts ready for that. All right. And then we're going to have a time of prayer. And I said, it's just called Me and God. We're going to give you time, you guys, time to pray with God through scripture. And then we're going to have a time where we pray together, like, corporately. All right. So that's what it will look like. So today, like I said, we're going to be discussing fearing God, right? So we'll throw up that picture, right? It's pretty dope. That basic fearing God. All right, so let's read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. This is what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Who's heard that verse before? Raise your hand if you've heard that verse before, right? So here's what we're talking about when we're saying fearing God, all right? The fear of God. What does the Bible mean when it tells us to fear God? What does it mean? What does it truly mean? Is it kind of the respect or reverence as many in the church seem to see it today, or is it really more of a paralyzing fear that can drive you to your knees and trembling? A clear understanding of what the Bible teaches can lead to a true fear of God, which can ultimately lead to the life we intended to live, all right? So get ready, all right, because Francis Chan is going to speak to you guys, right? He's going to challenge you, and I think a lot of things that we've heard before in our life, you're going to be like, this is what the Bible says. He's going to put it there before you. We'll come back and we'll discuss it. All right, let's go.
I spent a lot of years going to services and in churches and listening to messages and watching different trends come and go. And all the while, there's been this frustration going, gosh, it seems like what I'd read in the Bible was pretty different from what I'd experience in a church building, in a church service. And I also noticed this trend where as things became more popular in the world, the church would follow suit and go, oh yeah, that's popular here. And as people would say certain things are unpopular, the church would almost get embarrassed of those things, like embarrassed of certain doctrines, maybe even embarrassed of the way God described himself. One of the biggest issues that you see in scripture is this idea of the fear of God. I mean, the Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's not that there aren't a million other things to learn about God, but he says, you've got to start with the fear of the Lord, because that's the beginning of wisdom. And so for me to be wise and begin to understand God, it starts with a healthy understanding of fear. And because in the church, there was this trend where people were saying, yeah, that fear of God, that's kind of old school. You know, this hellfire brimstone. We don't really do that anymore. So in church, we started going, okay, yeah. Let's talk about the other areas of God. But if we skip the fear of God, we won't understand the other areas. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And anytime someone would quote this a verse on the fear of the Lord, because it's inevitable, it's in there hundreds of times. But the moment they would say the fear of the Lord, they would say, okay, let's stop here and make sure you understand that when I say fear, I don't mean fear. It's more of a respect. It's more of an awe. And I would read and go, are you sure about that? Because it sure looks like real fear to me. And when people came in contact with this God, it didn't look like just a respect or an awe. It sure appears that they are terrified. Years ago, I went surfing with some friends, and it was probably a little too big for me, but you know, everyone was out, so I went out. And I remember falling and getting sucked under this wave. I don't know if you've ever been under the power of a wave. It's happened to me several times, but this was so different because it was so powerful. It was like my body is just tumbling and I'm just tucked in there. And I am so scared because I'm spinning so fast. I have no idea which way's up. My head is freezing, you know, in this freezing cold water. I'm getting nauseous. But the worst part is I'm feeling like, I can't hold my breath any longer. And it's just tumbling, man. I'm like, when's this thing gonna let go? And I'm like, come on, let me go. God, I'm gonna die. And then finally, last second, it's like, I can finally see a little bit of light, and I just reach out and go, you know, I get to the top and I could take this breath. But that feeling of just intense fear, you see, that's what I see in the Bible. It's not like they think to themselves, okay, I should muster up some reverence now, or I should show them a little bit of respect. No, it's this out of control, like Isaiah the prophet, when he saw God, he just goes, I'm dead, he's gonna kill me. It's just this instant fear. John, the beloved disciple, the one that Jesus loved, when Jesus comes back in his glorified state, John sees him and he says, I just fell at his feet like I was dead. I just fainted. I just passed out. That's what I see in Scripture. It's not this idea of this God that we can control. It's really weird to me how nowadays people talk about God with such an arrogance. Like they really believe that they're the first person that's gonna be able to come before God and question him, and that God's gonna actually go, wow, I never thought of that before. You know, it's just this, how do we get there? I mean, think about it. If Moses and Isaiah and John and even the high angels all have this same response to God, why would I think that I'm gonna respond differently? Or that somehow I won't have the same fear. See, it's not even an issue of should I fear, should I not fear, should I talk? I'm just saying this is just reality. The reality is whoever you are, the moment you see God, you are going to fear him. We all will. In Isaiah 44, verse 6, he goes, I'm the first and the last, and besides me, there is no God. Who's like me? Who's like me? Let him proclaim it. In other words, if there's someone else that's like me, then have him speak up. And he goes on and he says, I appointed the ancient people. He goes, if you think that you can match up to me, then why don't you declare what's to come? Okay, tell me the future. Because God goes, I know the future. I knew when you were going to be born, and I know the last day you're going to have on this earth. I know everything. Why don't you tell me the future if you want to come and challenge me? Those are the words that God uses. He doesn't say, oh, come on, come teach me something. He goes, no. You need to understand there's no one else. There's one being. There's always been just me, and no one can challenge you. You want to challenge me? Why don't you stand up right now and just tell everyone, hey, I could live without you. You see, this is the way God speaks. And I know this isn't a popular way to talk, because we want a more manageable God. We want a God that we can question and tell him things and explain things to him. But the truth is this is the way God speaks about himself. And sometimes in our churches, we're almost embarrassed that our God is as powerful as he is, and that he speaks so boldly about himself and tells us to fear him. But here's the crazy part about it, is the next verse, right after he says these things, in verse 8, he says, fear not. He doesn't say fear me there. He actually switches and says fear not. And it's almost confusing at first. You go, wait a second. You're telling me who you are, and then once I get to this point of fear, you kind of go, but fear not, nor be afraid. Now, why would he say that? You see, it's actually a very common theme in Scripture. For example, when Isaiah saw God and he's terrified, he goes, you're going to kill me. Then God says, oh, no, Isaiah, it's okay. I'm actually going to send one of my angels, and an angel takes this coal, and he says, you know, Isaiah was saying, gosh, I'm such a sinner. I've said such bad things. And God says, no, watch, this coal is going to touch your lips, and I'm going to forgive you of everything. It's when John falls over like a dead man and just is terrified, Jesus goes, no, don't be afraid. It's me, Jesus. It's the same thing that he's doing here. And he's saying to them, he goes, look, I am this amazing God that you ought to fear. But once you get to that point, he goes, you don't have to fear me. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's just this, but you have to get to that point. You have to get to this point where you understand it's not about you. It's about this being who is way more powerful than you. And rather than trying to challenge him, see, what's amazing is God uses these terms in Scripture. He calls us his children. Think about that for a second. The security of a child. I mean, I've got four kids, and I'm not like this big tough guy or anything, but if anyone tried to harm one of my kids, of course I'm going to try to protect them. And to think of the God of the universe thinking of me like one of his children? Are you kidding me? And he uses terms like friend. I mean, think of the way you would defend your friends, or maybe even die for your friends. And the crazy one to me, the really intense one, is when he refers to the church as his bride. If someone were attacking my wife, I mean, what an absolute loser I would be if I just said, yeah, you're going to have to fend for yourself, honey. No, I'd jump in. I'd give my life for her. And to think that the God of the universe is calling us his bride, there's this security we can have. I mean, that's where the security comes from. But you'll never get there if you're not willing to get to that point of fear. I think this would be a lot easier if we could actually just see him. I mean, can you imagine if we just got 5 seconds in his presence? It really would change us forever, because then we would see, okay, now I know why I need to fear this God. And now I don't want to just flippantly disobey his commands anymore. I want to take him seriously. But not just that, but it would change our whole mindset, because we'd realize, now that I've seen him, I realize there's nothing else to fear. See, it's this fear of the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:23. It says, fear of the Lord actually leads to life. And those who have it rest satisfied. See, for too many years, we felt like the fear of the Lord was a bad thing. And we didn't realize this is the very thing that would lead us to life. Without the fear of the Lord, you're not going to understand why you should follow Jesus. Without a proper understanding of the fear of the Lord, we wouldn't understand the power that's available to us through the Holy Spirit. God wants you to fear Him because that's going to lead you to a life that you've never had. And it's a better life. It's a secure life. It's a life that we were created for.